the Berkshires to the Sound. From wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. What a great show we have for you today. Pittsburgh Pirates shortstop Kevin Newman stops by. Also, Seattle Mariners play-by-play man Dave Sims, that foul affair, and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
You hear that? That's the freaking New York Yankees. The Red Sox have heard them because the Yankees are coming. They have won five in a row coming into Wednesday night's game against the Red Sox. They've won 12 of 15. And they've taken over the second spot in the AL East from those Red Sox who are nosediving. The Yankees swept the doubleheader on Tuesday and were looking to win another game against the Red Sox. And the Yankees, here are the numbers. It's incredible. The Yankees were 10.5 games behind the first place Red Sox back on July 5th. But since then, they've gone 26-11. That's right. And the Red Sox are just, you know, tumbling. 3-11 in their previous 14 games before Wednesday night. And the Yankees, for the first time, are in a playoff position as far as record and schedule since May 30th. So what a turnaround. We've seen Aaron Judge. We've seen Giancarlo Stanton. We've seen the offense come alive. The Yankees made trades at the trade deadline and to get Gallo and Rizzo. And boy, things have really turned around for the Bronx Bombers. The Yankees have made some noise and look like they're going to the playoffs.
Number two.
Bally Sports Detroit has suspended Hall of Fame pitcher and broadcaster Jack Morris indefinitely after Tuesday night, when he had racist comments leading up to an at-bat by Shohei Ohtani. And Jack Morris apologized on the air later on in the game, but it was too late. And he made some sort of crack using like an Asian accent to say something about Ohtani, and Bally Sports did the right thing. The Tigers also put out a statement saying they were disappointed in Jack and that they supported Bally Sports Detroit, and we do as well here. And these guys have to stop with the racist remarks and jokes and stuff they're trying to slip through. That day is over, and broadcasters keep going by the wayside because they're so set in their old ways, and those things just don't play anymore.
Number three.
Mets owner Steve Cohen rips his team's offense on Twitter. I just have one question. Why? Come on, man. Here we go. I get it. Everybody in New York is frustrated about the Mets. They were leading the NL East for 90 days, for 3 months, and now they're sinking like a rock. They have injuries. They have all kinds of things going on. And going into Wednesday night, they had fallen below 500 for the first time since May 5th. They're now 4.5 games behind the Atlanta Braves, who are leading the division. And it was just 2 weeks ago that the Mets actually led the division by 4 games. And I get the frustration. But here we go with the owner. You know what? Say your piece. Talk to your general manager. Talk to your manager. Even talk to some players personally. But to go on Twitter and rip the players as if they're not trying to hit and as if they don't want to have better batting averages and win more games. I mean, it just, here's the start of something that could be silly. I think Steve Cohen, who's a new owner of the Mets virtually, has made a mistake by going on the offensive on Twitter.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast Pittsburgh Pirates shortstop Kevin Newman. Kevin, welcome to the podcast, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, Rob. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for joining us. And the Pirates finished up their three-game series with the Dodgers on Wednesday night in Los Angeles. But I want to talk to you about something that happened to you this past week where you were mentioned with Honus Wagner, one of the all-time great baseball players ever, and that you were the first Pirates shortstop with four extra base hits in the game since Honus Wagner in the second game of a doubleheader, August 22nd, 1910. I mean, when you heard about that, what'd you think, Kev?
Yeah, I saw that. One of my buddies actually told me, it was an honor, man. I didn't have any idea. It was something that rare, but you know, to be mentioned in the same sentence, as a guy like that is just incredible.
It really is. When you go back and you're talking about such a long period of time that no other shortstop had have four extra base hits in a game, but you did it. And, obviously, the Pirates are struggling and, you know, out of it for this season. But let me ask you about you, Kev, to start. And the difference in baseball, you have to keep making adjustments from your first year when you batted 308 and then the next couple years. How have teams pitched you differently? Have you seen that? And then is it up to you to make an adjustment?
Yeah, you know, it's a game of adjustments. You know, first year coming in and having that success, and then with all the data and analytics that are out there now, it's really like a cat and mouse game. You know, they have the ability to see, you know, where and what pitches you hit well and where and what pitches you don't. So obviously they're going to do everything they can to exploit those weaknesses, and, you know, that's where the adjustments come in. So it's really, it's never, not changing. You're constantly, you know, adjusting your sights, your focuses, your approach. Because if you don't, you know, they'll figure out what gets you out. And that's part of it.
Is it frustrating or is it just a learning process? Cause you batted 308, your breakout year a couple years ago. And then, you know, your average is around 225, 226 since then. Is it frustrating or is it just a learning process or do you take it on as a challenge?
All three, honestly. You know, it's, you know, baseball is a game of failure and, you know, so being able to, you know, grind through and, you know, get through those slumps, it's all three of the things you just said. So, you know, you just take it day by day and, continue to show up to the field, you know, wanting to get better, wanting to compete, wanting to face the best in the world, and making those adjustments. And that's kind of how you you take it day by day.
Our guest here on Inside the Parker is Pittsburgh Pirates shortstop Kevin Newman. And Kevin, I brought it up a little bit ago about the Pirates, and you know it's been a rough year. But how do you prepare yourself? You're a major league player. You're in the big leagues. You got a job to do. And even if your team is out of it, is it harder to play or it's not harder to play because you have a job to do and you just come out and play every day?
Yeah, every day is the same approach and mentality. You know, you go out there wanting to get better. You go out there, you know, competing as best you possibly can. You know, because at the end of the day, nobody likes to get out. Nobody likes to lose. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, with where we're at and where our record's at, you know, that's not where we want to be, but it's a reality of the situation. And so just showing up every single day and, you know, getting your work in and bringing your best self to the field and, you know, collectively trying to get wins every night, regardless of our record. That's kind of the mentality for us.
You're a young guy. Field of Dreams came out before you were born. Did you ever see Field of Dreams, the movie?
I did not, but actually it's funny, you know, after that game, my wife and I looked at each other and we're like, hey, we have to watch that soon. So it's definitely on the list.
Now, let me ask you about the event. I don't know if you were playing when it went on or did you see the highlights or what you saw of the Field of Dreams. Kev, I thought it was absolutely spectacular and it gave me goosebumps to watch it. What was your did you get to watch it or were you playing or did you watch the highlights and what was your reaction to the Field of Dreams game?
Yeah, we were able to watch it, it was really cool. And the game itself, I think, made it just an awesome thing to watch. That going back and forth between those two teams, and obviously ending in a walk off, and I thought it was just one of the best baseball games I've seen. And then on top of that, I think it was pretty cool. Just the backdrop and everything behind the game, and I think it was a great event. It really was.
Yeah, they really did a good job. And then the other part, too, was only 8,000 seats, so the intimacy of it, right? Like, usually you're in a big stadium, to play in front of 8,000 people, I think, is pretty exciting as well.
Yeah, definitely really cool, really cool, to be able to, for those people that did get to go to that game, I think that's an experience that they'll have forever, and share with those that weren't able to make it, but that, it seemed like a really awesome event.
Last thing, Kev, as a baseball player, you watch all the players, you play against them, you see them on the highlights, and, people try to talk about who are the best player, who's the best player in the league right now, and there's a lot of really good players. And either you could tell me who you think the best is or who you like watching or whatever, aside from your teammates and you. Is it Shohei Ohtani? Is it Fernando Tatis Jr.? Is it Vlad Guerrero Jr.? When you look around baseball, who's the best player or who's the most exciting player to watch?
It's funny. As you started asking that question, I started thinking about it, and those were the three guys that actually came to mind. So, I think that anytime, you get to see those guys play, it's fun. I haven't played against Shohei. I haven't played against Vlad. But I played against Tatis, and he's special, man. It's pretty incredible to watch and to play against. Those three guys, man, they're bringing excitement to the game, and it's really good for it.
No doubt. Hey, Kev, continued success, man, for the rest of the season. Appreciate you joining us here on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
With the Padres' Fernando Tatis Jr. once again announcing his presence off the IL with authority for the third time this season, a two-homer day in his first game back on Sunday, the NL MVP odds are once again back in Tatis' favor, if they were ever pointed somewhere else. The Padres' shortstop has unequivocally been the best player in the National League when he's been on the field this season, but what has that meant for the Padres as a team? Well, it's hard to figure out, but the Padres have been a fairly average offense even when Tatis has been healthy this season. Middle of the pack in the NL in runs, extra base hits and home runs, though their strikeout and walk rates are elite, don't really jive with the talent on the roster. In fact, as of August 16th, the Padres were just 47-42 in games in which Tatis appeared, a .528 win percentage, and 20-12 in games he missed, a .625 win percentage. No one here is saying the Padres are better off without Tatis. It's just a fun statistical oddity you only seem to get in baseball. It also got me thinking about which players have been a part of the most victories this season. Not the best players necessarily, but the ones whose teams have won the most in their outings. No surprise, with the league's best record, the Giants own the top two spots, as San Fran has won two-thirds of Mike Yastrzemski's 100 games played. But number three on that list switched teams during the season, as the Brewers' Willie Adames went from Tampa to Milwaukee and has seen his teams go 75-40 in his presence. Now, hopefully Tatis can stay on the field over the season's final 6 weeks to, I don't know, maybe bump that team win percentage up a bit. That was sarcasm.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it. My, oh my.
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, from MLBBro.com, here's J.R. Gamble.
When Max Scherzer was traded to the Dodgers from the Nats, shortstop Trey Turner was still considered like a throw-in player in the blockbuster deal and is overlooked when mentioning the elite shortstops in the game. J.R., is it foul or is it fair to to say that Turner will shed the underrated tag this season as a member of the Dodgers.
Fair. Trey Turner was one of the best kept secrets in baseball while on the Nationals. He hits for a high average. In fact, he's hit for the cycle three times. He's a world champ, and he's fast as heck, swiping more than 30 bases in 4 out of 6 full seasons. He hit .342 as a rookie, and ever since his power numbers have been increasing. The shortstop position is a glamour position, unfortunately. And since Fernando Tatis came into the league, he's been the all-star at that position in the National League. And Turner's modest power numbers have caused people to overlook his all-around great game. He's like a throwback. He's had seasons of 43 and 46 steals and is approaching the 2020 mark. As a member of the star-studded Dodgers, Turner's already more popular and being appreciated for everything from the way he hits and fields to the way he slides. He's a gamer. He's all over social media as the Dodgers fight for the NL West. LA was the perfect place for a guy who made his first All-Star game this season and just needed to get on the Dodgers superstar radar to get his full props.
Turn money into more money.
Now it's time for Betting on the Bases with Dave Gascon.
Love that money. Love that money.
Rob, it's a brand new week. We came off a stellar performance a weekend ago, and we continue that trend today with the New York Mets and the Los Angeles Dodgers. LA's trying to keep pace with the San Francisco Giants that never seem to want to lose. And the Dodgers also lit up the Mets last weekend, sweeping them at Citi Field. We turn over the page to Chavez Ravine. You got Max Scherzer on the mound versus Carlos Carrasco in this pitching matchup. I'm all over this thing. Dodgers in a victory in that affair. The New York Yankees are riding high right now. You go from July to August and potentially see what happens in September as they try to flag down not only Boston, but also the Tampa Bay Rays in the American League East Division. I'm going with the Yankees in this one. They take on the Minnesota Twins. First pitch is at 7:05 Eastern. Speaking of that, I'm also looking at the White Sox and the Rays. This will be a stellar matchup. Michael Wacha, Lucas Giolito in the pitching matchup. I like Tampa. I like the Chicago White Sox, both with good offenses and pretty solid pitching staffs. I'm taking the under in this one, under with the White Sox and the Rays. And that is game number 3 for us. Rob, I'm out.
Take out the papers in the trash.
Yeah. It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week for Trash Talking, we got a number of nominations, including the Baltimore Orioles as a team, Kenley Jansen of the Dodgers, the closer. But this week's winner comes from Kuzma Burner, at Kuzma Burner, and he sent me this quote: Steve Cohen clowning his players for going through a slump. That's right. Kuzma Burner is ripping Mets owner Steve Cohen, who took to Twitter to blast his team. If you want to be on Trash Talk next week, hit me up on my Twitter at Rob Parker FS1.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast a friend of mine and the TV voice of the Seattle Mariners, Dave Sims. Dave, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Rob. Good to hear from you, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
No doubt. Always good. Hey, the team that you do night in and night out, they got a shot at the playoffs, and they're playing some good baseball. Tell me about the Mariners. And, Dave, can they make the playoffs?
Oh, yeah, they can make the playoffs. They're going to need a little bit of help. But I tell you, this is one of the best situations we've had in a while. We're 4 back in a wild card race. This is a team that when you look at it on paper, you're like, okay, you know, nice team, but, you know, nothing to, you know, that's going to scare the pants off you. Next thing you know, they're sitting at a really good position, 64-56. And they have had outstanding performances out of a bunch of guys in the bullpen that I don't think many people have heard of. And the other thing that's really been outstanding, they have been anywhere from 2-7 in the major leagues, runners in scoring position, batting average. A lot of clutch hits in this ball club, and I think that the bullpen and the clutch hitting has been really good. big reasons. And also, the starting pitching's come around, too. We lost so many guys early off.
Right. There's been so many injuries, and I know the Mariners were definitely hit with it as well. Who has to be that guy, pitching-wise and hitting-wise, in these last 6 weeks of the season that's got to be there for the Mariners?
Well, Ty France has already taken that over pretty much in the mainstream. Mitch Haniger's probably right behind him. J.P. Crawford and Kyle Seager probably the top four guys with Abraham Toro mixed in. But those would be the focal guys. And then pitching-wise, we got Marco Gonzalez going tonight. I mean, he really is the embodiment and the epitome of the classy left-hander. You know, doesn't throw real hard, but throws strikes, compete like heck. And he's gotten results. He threw an actual complete game, Rob, in 2 hours and 8 minutes in his last outing against Texas.
Wait a minute. Was Randy Jones pitching? Who was pitching in that game?
Honest to God, somewhere Mr. Bob Gibson is smiling knowing that somebody threw a complete game in 2:08. That's unheard of in these days. I mean, I grew up with that stuff. That was just another day at the office. That's Wednesday. But, you know, the way baseball operates now, you know, they're happy if you can get a guy who can go five or six, and then they throw it to the bullpen. But now Marco's back from had some injury problems early on, was on paternity leave for a while. So he is really starting to find his rhythm, and it couldn't happen at a better time.
Our guest is Mariners TV play-by-play man Dave Sims. You've heard him. He's done the NFL, all kinds of stuff, but baseball guy. And here's the other thing. When I look at the Mariners, how well they've played at home, what is it about Seattle and, you know, why they're playing so well?
You know, so many things in baseball, you really can't put your finger on it. 12 games beyond 500 at home and 4 under on the road. It's, you know, comfort. You know, we have a beautiful ballpark, T-Mobile Park. The weather here in Seattle has been spectacular with a couple of bumps where it got super hot and that freaked everybody out. But it has been, it's just been the comfort level. I think that's the biggest thing, especially in this, you know, this day and age of COVID. And, you know, guys, you know, being home, I think, I know just speaking for myself, I like the fact that, you know, when they're home, it's just a normalness that we didn't have last year.
And the one thing that jumps out at me is the plus minus, what I should say, the run differential is really what I'm trying to say. And they're a minus 45 going into Wednesday's action. That doesn't look like a playoff team when you're not scoring, you know, enough runs.
Yeah, but in the column that headed by a W, it says 64 and the L say 56.
Yeah,
people have been saying that for weeks, and it hasn't really caught up yet. And this is a heck of a stretch that the fellas are in right now. They got to get it. For my money, they got to sweep Texas. You know, lost two walk-off games last time they were down in Texas just a few weeks ago. And then they go to Houston. Dusty and the boys are going to be tough, and ditto Oakland. And they come home for Kansas City and Houston. So, but then they get Arizona. They get Arizona 6 times in September. They got a Boston team that at the moment is reeling. They may pick it back up. And so we'll see. And they're going to be facing a lot of teams where they will be able to control their own destiny. 2 more series with Houston and 2 more with Oakland jump off the page, and actually 3 with Oakland and 2 with the Angels. So it's right there in front of them. We'll see what happens.
Dave, I have to ask you about the Field of Dreams game. Obviously, it didn't include the Mariners, but as a baseball guy who loves the game, I don't know if you were broadcasting during it or did you get to watch the whole thing or just watch the highlights? I thought it was just an epic Hollywood show that baseball pulled off. What were your thoughts of Field of Dreams in Iowa?
I got home probably about the 5th or 6th inning after our game, and it's entertainment, and it was an absolute home run. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoyed the movie. I mean, it was fantasy land, no question. And still I love James Earl Jones. And the other, the favorite part of the movie is when the character of Moonlight Graham morphed into the great actor as an adult, morphed into Burt Lancaster, which to me blew my socks off. I'll never forget that. I always loved Burt Lancaster. But I thought they nailed it. I like the walking out from the stocks. How do you beat that? I mean, the visuals were fabulous. They absolutely nailed it. And I don't think I think it's something they can go to that well a few more times.
I was going to ask you that. The rumor out there is not official. I thought it would be Cubs and Cardinals. What a great rivalry. But it looks like it's going to be the Cubs and the Reds. And I get the Reds. The Reds are the, you know, first professional team in the history of this country. So I can see where the Reds are like, don't forget about us. You know, we deserve to be into something like that. What do you think about Reds and Cubs?
I totally agree that the Reds should definitely be under consideration. But given the geographics, for my money, you got to go Cubs Cardinals for number two. And I have no problem with Cincy being the third pick. But yeah, I get it. But I think Cubs Cardinals would have been. You know, you got to have the Yankees. You got to have somebody from Chicago for the first one. I thought that was great. By the way, the Caps. The throwback Caps of the White Sox. I'm a big hat cap guy.
Oh,
I love
yeah.
them. I have to get one. I thought they were fantastic. But I get it. I get it. I think this is a thing that, especially the way the NFL dominates the sports calendar, this was something, and here we are, you know, several days beyond the fact, and we're still talking about it. I think it's great for baseball.
No doubt. His name is Dave Sims, television play-by-play man for the Seattle Mariners and a buddy of mine. Dave, thanks for joining the podcast. We'll see you down the road.
Absolutely. Anytime, Rob. Keep it up, man.
Now bring in the closer.
Track one.
Track two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Reason number 755 why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. You know what it is? It's preseason in the NFL and the games unwatchable. Are you kidding me? There's nothing. As much as I love football, the thing that I can't watch is preseason football. Not at all. It doesn't interest me. It's not interesting. It's not fun. It's not a challenge. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's like Play-Doh. I still can watch a preseason baseball game, exhibition baseball game, whatever you want to call it, more than I can watch a preseason football game. I mean, the NFL dropped the preseason from four games to three and very easily. And for a long time, fans had to buy the preseason games to buy season tickets, because if you gave them the option to buy preseason or regular season, they wouldn't buy preseason football. The regulars don't play. A lot of guys won't even make it to the NFL play, and it's boring and it's terrible. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.